Amen, amen. Thank y'all for coming. I really do appreciate you coming. And I know we live in unusual times. It'll get back. Amen. We're just being attacked right now. The whole church, every Bible believing church has been. There's a lot of them don't care. There's one on the way to York. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. It's on the left, that big brick church. It hadn't been open since this thing started. I mean, way back in March when they said closed down or whenever it was. Yeah, it's been closed ever since. It said we're closed on the outside, but we're not on the inside or something like that. And church, and I see other churches like that. Of course, these are politically correct churches. They have a lot of politics in them. All right, turn to Luke chapter 8. I'm glad you came. Now, we won't have Wednesday night service. We usually do a Tuesday night potluck supper, but since the COVID and all this fear, we're not going to do that. And no, but I'm going to get you to stay after everybody leaves, so I can preach another hour to you. Amen. I know you need it, but I do want to thank you for coming. It's unusual, ain't it? This unusual. The atmosphere of the country just feels unusual. And darkness, like darkness is falling on. Huh? The darkest hour comes right before the dawn. Amen. And the devil has a plan. Now, this ain't got nothing to do with my message, but you're going to hear this. There's a new term, like it's restart or something. Restart or renew or something. But the liberals got this big plan. They're going to rearrange everything. But I think God's got a big old monkey wrench. And I think he's fixing to throw the monkey wrench in their new starter. Amen. And so tonight has absolutely nothing to do with that. All right. Pray for these who are homesick, and we sure miss them. And y'all get back in here. Don't you get lazy just because you watch us in your pajamas drinking coffee. Get back in here where you belong. It ain't the same thing. It ain't not forsaking assembling together means together. And I ain't doing like Ernest Angley and laying my hand on the TV screen and tell you getting well. I'm not doing that. Amen. Luke chapter 8. I told you this morning I was going to teach you something that maybe it's a different way than what you've ever heard it. But I want to talk to you about the disciple who loved Jesus the most. The disciple who loved Jesus most. And I said I was going to shock you, and I believe it will shock you, but by the time I'm through, you will agree with me, okay? I know you will. And so let's look at it. And you got to stick with me, okay, so you understand what I'm talking about. All right, Luke chapter 8, and I think Thomas hit on this morning, and maybe it was Luke 8, I don't remember. But verse 1 through 3, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. Now notice this, which ministered unto him of their substance. That's what these women did, see. All right, now turn to John 19. Look at verse 25 in John 19. John 19, verse 25. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20, we're going to read that whole passage. I think this is the one Thomas was talking about this morning. John chapter 20, look at verse 1 in John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And so he stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, as Thomas said this morning, even though he had told them. And the disciples went away again unto their own home. See, now they've broken up. They quit. They've gone. They went home. It's done. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. Mary Magdalene stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. He was in a glorified, resurrected body. She didn't recognize him. Then said Jesus unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, if you've taken him somewhere, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. That's all he said. Mary. I get chill bumps.
Yes, sir.
Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he has spoken these things unto her. Lord, bless the reading of your word tonight. Help us for just a few minutes here. Speak to us, Lord, in this dark, dreary world, and lighten our night tonight, Lord. Let us go out of here in the joy of the Lord and serve you with gladness. And if anybody doesn't know you, save them. And those that do, encourage them. And those that are discouraged and downhearted, lift them up. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the disciple that it said there that Jesus loved, but I'm talking about the disciple that most loved Jesus. Amen. Now, before I go any farther, you have to realize, when you think disciples, you usually think apostles. Even though the apostles were disciples, they were apostles. Now, an apostle had to be a hand-picked man that the Lord picked himself. A disciple could be a woman or a man. People don't usually think about that. They think of the disciples. They think of the 12. But a disciple was anyone who was a following of the teachings of Jesus Christ. So here's Mary Magdalene. She's a disciple. She's a follower. And I don't know, I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but I personally nominate her as the disciple that loved Jesus most. And there's some reasons I'm going to show you. John was called the beloved. Others might even say Peter or James or John. But I would say Mary Magdalene, one of the three Marys, would be the most devoted and the most thankful of all the disciples. I would say that, and I'm going to show you why. Because the Lord seems to give her some special privileges that he didn't give anybody else. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. However, no person, none of them, had ever devoted what Mary Magdalene had And so he's kind of shined some favor on her. Maybe he didn't on others. Now, why? Number one, I'd ask myself, why did she have such great devotion? Well, because God put it in her. It's not natural for a human being to love God that much. God put that in her. Just as he put faith and love and hope in you, he put this great devotion in her, this great thankfulness in her, because he wanted her as a special servant to him. Now, I need to clear something up before we go any farther. This was not the fallen woman that people think she was. This Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. You will not find any scripture that says, but you hear a lot of preachers say it. She was not a prostitute. It's not there. A lot of people will call her a fallen woman. That's not there. All women before they were saved are fallen. But she was not a great prostitute or great fallen person or something like that. She was a woman that was possessed of seven devils. She was possessed of seven demons. She was possessed. And Jesus cast the demons out of her. We do not know that adultery or fornication or homosexuality was any of those demons. It might have been gossip or backbiting or envy or hatred or something like that that those demonic demons were. I don't see anywhere that it was prostitution. So I want to show you her devotion. Number one, she became more than saved. She became more than saved. There's a lot of people that get saved and no more. She went farther. Most people do not go farther. Most people do not draw nigh to God like this woman did. She went farther than most believers do. She offered nothing but her best. She offered nothing but her best. You'll not find where she ever gave Jesus her second best or leftovers. She gave him her very best. She left everything to follow him. She left it all. To be his disciple, a real disciple, he said, you'll have to leave it all. And she left it all and was up close to him. And it's more close than most of them were, even though they left all. And for a woman to leave all is a lot harder than a man to leave all.
Yes, sir.
And she left it all. And she wanted her complete devotion to be given it to him because she was so thankful for what he had done for her.
Amen.
She didn't give him her Sunday mornings. She didn't give to him a 10-minute prayer meeting every morning. She didn't give him her leftover tithes and offerings. She gave her very best to Jesus Christ. And by the way, we were singing about faith of our fathers. She's one of them, faith of our mothers too, I guess we would have to say. But these people lived and died for Jesus Christ. And you could put a gun to their head and said, you're not going to assemble together. And they'd say, you better pull the trigger before I get going. Amen.
Amen.
They didn't have to say you might get sick if you assemble together because they risked more than sickness. They risked crucifixion. They risked getting crucified or hung upside down on a cross or getting pulled apart by two horses or burned at the stake or something. It wasn't just a sickness that they risked. They risked their lives every time they met. Amen?
Amen.
Now, her devotion happened all of a sudden. I noticed that. I don't know if you ever noticed that or not, but it happened all of a sudden. She shows up in the Bible. You've never heard of her before. She just showed up one day. She was full of devils and Jesus cast the demons out and she became a true friend to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because Jesus said the Bible says a true friend will lay down his life for his friend. And I believe Mary Magdalene, being the first at the tomb, was willing to lay down her life for Jesus Christ, even after she thought he was dead. Their souls, I believe, my soul and your soul will become knit together with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you know how I know that? Because she at first did not recognize him in his resurrected body. Didn't recognize him. But then all he said was, now he'd already asked her, woman, who are you looking, what are you looking for? And she told him, they took my body. If you can tell me where they took him, I'll go get him. And he said, Mary. And automatically she knew who was talking. Their souls had become one. That's why I believe that when God speaks to people, people know it's the Lord. There's no doubt when the Lord speaks. Amen? Because my soul and his soul have been knit. We've become one. I'm in him. He's in me. And thank God when he says, Ron, I know it. Amen? I know when he's talking. Now, there's a lot of other people talking. I don't know who they are. But I know who he is. Amen? And so this kind of friend, it makes the devotion not just friendship, but it makes it sacred. It makes it a holy thing. To have a friend like this is a holy thing. Amen? My wife's my friend like that. I can recognize her voice. I can recognize her feelings and stuff. But you don't get that way with strangers. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You got to really know somebody to know what they're saying when they just call your name. She says, Ronnie? And every once in a while she'll say, Ronnie. And every once in a while she'll say, Ronnie, you was the prettiest man. You was the handsomest man at church today. Amen. But you don't get many friends like that in life. You don't get friends that'll die for you, hardly ever. Most friends will walk out. When trouble comes, they'll hit the pavement, man. They'll run off. But Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But he had a friend named Mary that sticketh closer than a brother. And we ought to be like Mary. We ought to be so close to him that we feel like we're part of him and he's part of us. And we recognize his voice. The sheep know his voice. And a stranger they will not answer to. Amen. Sometimes you look at people and say, how'd they get mixed up in that cult? They didn't know the shepherd to start with.
That's right. Come on, bro. That's good.
Every time Mormon missionaries come to your door, every time Jehovah Witness come to your door, well, let's just go with the Mormons first. Ask them next time they come. So, were either of you born in the Mormon church? And one of them will always say, I was. And the other one will say, no, I was a Baptist, or I was Methodist, or I was Presbyterian, or I was Pentecostal, and I became a Mormon. And I look at him and I think, you never knew him to start with. If you had known the voice of the real shepherd, you wouldn't be following a fake one now. Amen? And same way with Jehovah's Witness. One of them usually say, I was born and raised Jehovah's Witness. The other one say, well, I was a Baptist, or I was a Methodist, I was a Presbyterian. I think to myself, you were a church member, you were not saved. You never heard the voice of God. If you'd have heard it, you'd have known that Joseph, well, whatever his name was, Charles Taz Russell, was a crook and a liar and a thief. Amen?
Amen.
But this woman had a special relationship with Jesus Christ as a friend, and their souls were knit together. God gave her the privilege of letting her be at the tomb first. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Now that was a privilege to be the first one. She was the first one to see him resurrected from the dead.
Amen.
And she was the first one to speak to him.
Yep.
And she was the first one to go tell.
Yep.
Now what a blessing. Amen. Now why is that? Because God knew that she was thankful for what he'd done for her, and she would be true and honest with what he wanted to do with her. And that spread the good news. Amen.
Amen.
I think she had a special relationship. Look in Luke chapter 8 again. Luke chapter 8 again. Look at verse 1 through 3 again. And it came pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. So now we know that she's following him. She's traveling. And Joanna, the wife of I never can pronounce his name, Herod Steward, and Susanna, and many others. And why were these women following him? Which ministered unto him of their what?
Sons.
You won't find this where it says a man disciple did that. He always supplied their needs. In this case, she supplied his needs. Her substance. You know what that means? Her money. She was helping finance the ministry of Jesus Christ and all those 12 preachers. You never thought about that? These women ministered by giving their money to the ministry of the greatest preacher that's ever walked on the planet Earth, Jesus Christ himself. And they donated their money. She ministered unto him. Now, don't you think it took a special devotion to leave all you loved and everything you had and to follow Jesus Christ, and then not only follow him but give of your substance to support him? He never worked. The apostles never worked after God called them, the Lord called them to be apostles. They did when they were disciples, but they didn't after he called them to be apostles. You never thought about where they got their money? You thought he got a dollar out of every fish they found? Like he did that one time. No, that ain't the way it happened. These women, and it named specifically Mary Magdalene, supported Jesus Christ with her substance. She was a giver. She was so devoted because she was so thankful. She became more than saved, and her devotion happened all of a sudden. We don't even know where she came from. We don't know where she got all the money, but I know she wasn't a prostitute if she wouldn't have had all that money. And then Luke 8:1-3 says she cared for his physical needs. Now, wouldn't that be an honor to care for the physical needs of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. And she's his servant. The way she looked at it, there was no task, there was no sacrifice, there was no service to him that was too great. She gave it all. Are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
We don't talk about women much in the church like that, do we? So many unsung heroes of women in the church. We don't ever talk about that. And then I want you to notice this. When Jesus died on the cross, she was still his servant ministering to him. There with his mother and the others, she was there to minister to them and with them to him while he's on the cross.
Amen, yeah.
Where was all the great preachers at? Run. Where was all the people that said, no, I won't deny you. I'll die before I'll deny you. Where that? And you'll find out it's like that in most churches too. But I got news for you. In spite of fear for her own life, because it was basically your death warrant to appear ministering to Jesus Christ after he's been found guilty and nailed to a cross. At the risk of her own life, she's there ministering to him and his mother, and she got to be the first one at the tomb to pay her respects to the master while others hid out and didn't even come down there. They were hid out. You remember that? They were afraid the Roman soldiers were going to come get them. They killed him. We put him in the tomb. Now they're going to come get us. And what Mary Magdalene did, she got up next morning and went to the tomb in spite of all that. Assuming there would be soldiers guarding the tomb. She thought she was risking her life, but she went anyway. Amen?
Amen.
And boy, we can't hardly get people to go to church when they get a cold. Listen, why not Peter? Why not James? Why not John? Could it be that Mary had more devotion because she was more thankful than they were? It's Thanksgiving, folks. It's time to think about being thankful.
Amen, yeah.
Could it be that Mary Magdalene was his most devoted follower of all? The 12 were called. You come follow me. You come follow me. You come follow me. You come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to give you the words. Don't worry about what you eat or wear. I'm going to take care of you. That wasn't told to Mary and these women. I love it. I think she was the most devoted follower he had. I think that the reason for that was she was the most thankful. She was the first that appeared after the resurrection. Why not Peter? Where was Peter? Where was that great Peter at? Where was that great John the Beloved? Where was that great James? Where was his own brother James? And she showed up there thinking she was going to meet soldiers and have to beg them to let her in to minister to his body. And the soldiers were gone. And the stone was rolled back.
Yes, sir.
And there's two angels to greet her.
Amen.
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 The apostles didn't even get that. Amen. And then she got to talk to him in person. She was the first one to see his resurrected body. Amen. Wanted to touch it. He said, Mary, and must have, because he said, Mary, don't touch me. Don't. I think she wanted to hug his neck or kiss his feet or his hand or something, don't you? But what an honor, man. What an honor. He chose her, not one of the 12. She was humble. She was a grateful lady. And she would not be denied from seeing her Savior there in that tomb. All the armies of Rome couldn't stop her. All the armies of Israel couldn't stop her. She was going to see her Lord and minister to Him and prepare His body, really. Now listen to this. She knew his soul. She knew his soul. She had been in touch with Jesus Christ in a spiritual way more than just a physical way. Now, when I was a kid, teenager, that movie came out with a rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, and we went to see the movie. I was not a Christian. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I did notice this. Mary Magdalene, the one played Mary Magdalene there, she was a prostitute and supposedly started following him. There's kind of some hints there, you know, might have been a lover more than anything else. And, but I noticed this also at the, when it started, they drove up on an old hippie bus and all of them got off the bus singing, you know, and they, it's kind of, you'd have to see it. But anyway, at the end, at the beginning, Judas was the last one to get off the bus. At the end, Judas didn't get back on, but neither did Jesus. But I got news for you. Mary Magdalene knew better than that. She knew he was alive. She saw him. She wanted to touch him. And that tells me that not even death, Brother Ron, can separate the thankfulness and the devotion that it causes when a woman or a man falls in love with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
The threat of death, that means nothing. That don't mean anything. The threat of losing all you have, that means nothing. We gave it up the day we got saved anyway. We don't have anything.
Yes, sir.
Listen, she was at the cross. She was with his mother. She was with his friends. She was with his family. And she was true to the very end. Maybe she knew him better than they did. She might have even loved him better than they did. You ever notice that? That's right. We're, preacher, we're much forgiven. There's lots of love there. Amen. I believe because of her gratitude, she became the one who loved Jesus the most. You remember when you first got saved? You probably cried all day. I know I cried off and on all day. Probably for a couple of weeks. All you had to do was say Jesus, I'd start crying. I'd go to church, they'd sing Amazing Grace, and I just couldn't take it. I'd just start crying. I couldn't understand why everybody else wasn't crying. They'd sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. I'd get back, Oh, How I Love Jesus. I'd just start bawling like a little old baby. Because I realized how much he loved me to save me, and I wanted to love him as much as he loved me. Now at first that's all emotion. At first it's all, and thank God for the emotion.
Right.
Thank God, Billy, you couldn't leave that place without getting saved. Thank God we cried. Thank God that we couldn't get over it and still hadn't got over it. Thank God. And even though our faith is matured like it does with your mama or your daddy, our faith has not changed. We still love him much because he first loved us. But aren't we as thankful as we were then? I think if you're as thankful as you were. By the way, 2 weeks later, I went to see my pastor. 2 or 3 weeks later, I said, "Pastor, I need to do something." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I feel like I need to do something for the Lord." He said, "Son, you can't do nothing for the Lord." I said, "Can I clean the building?" He said, "No, we pay people to do that." I said, "Can I cut the grass?" He said, "No, we pay people to do that." Don't get no ideas, Tracy. I said, "Can I do something?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to the hospital visiting. You can go with me. That'd be the greatest thing you can do for the Lord. Go visit people." And I was so in love with the Lord, I just wanted to do something. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I wanted to show him how much I loved him. And Preacher Valkenberry said, "There's no way on earth you can ever show him how much you love him." He said, "Just do what he says. Do what he says." But I did find this out as I grew in the Lord. You can't just be saved. And not, you can't. And be thankful. Now you can just be saved and not be thankful, but you cannot just be saved and be thankful. Now if you're not thankful, you can be saved, go to heaven, and don't worry about anything happening between here and there. But if you're thankful, you're going to say, "I need to be more devoted.
Amen.
I need to learn how to play the piano for the Lord. I need to lead the choir for the Lord. I need to sing in the choir for the Lord. I need to get me a guitar and learn how to pluck it and get up there and sing and watch Jeffrey try to keep up with me as I change." I need somebody to get up here. Somebody says, "Well, I can't sing much and I don't know if I'd fit in the choir, but I'll get up there and sing anyway." "Well, I don't know if I can do something, but I can clean the building." "Well, I don't know what I can do, but I can cut the grass." "Well, I don't know what I can do, but I can send a card. We missed you." "Well, I don't know what I can do, but I can call somebody." "Well, I don't know what I can do, but I can be faithful in my Bible study. Maybe they'll let me teach Sunday school one day. Until they do, I can be there. I can show up. I can give.
Yes.
I can be happy in what he's given me. I can be thankful." If you'll get devoted at being thankful, I guarantee you, he'll give you something to do. I just wish more people could love like Mary. I love him. But I can't say if I'd have been there, I'd have been as devoted as she is. I can't say that. But I can say this. I want to be.
Yes.
I want to be.
There you go.
And you know what? That don't come natural. God has put that in your heart.
Amen. Yeah.
I want to love him more. I want to be more devoted.
Amen.
And that makes me want to do more for him and others. Amen. Now this week's Thanksgiving, and people's going to get together and they're going to say they're having Thanksgiving meal and nobody's even going to say a blessing. That's the way we grew up. We didn't say a blessing.
Yeah.
But boy, after I got saved, I want to say blessing.
Amen.
I'll never forget. I've been working at different companies, you know, and pastoring at the same time. And a lot of these places, they didn't really like preachers being there because, you know, the dirty jokes ain't there and all that stuff. And, but we'd have some kind of something for Thanksgiving or Christmas. And they'd always ask me to pray. And I was so thankful that they'd let me pray over the Thanksgiving celebration or Christmas or whatever it was. You know why? Because I'd pray the gospel.
Amen.
I'd pray, "Lord, thank you for another Thanksgiving where we remember that you sent your son to die for us. He lived a life we can't live and he died in our place. And thank God he rose again that third day. And he said, whosoever will can come and be saved. And thank God he saves us and he keeps us. And one day he's going to present us faultless. And Lord, bless this turkey. Amen."
Amen.
Amen. You can preach the gospel at the checkout counter. You can preach it anywhere, amen. To people that don't even know you're doing it. They thought I was asking the blessing, Billy. I'll never forget one time at work we had this boy. He was Jewish. He was real, born a Jew. And he wore a Star of David around his neck. Super nice guy. And he looked like King David. Handsome young man, brown, olive, almond covered. His eyes were olive, almond, I guess you'd call it. But his hair was wavy and dark. And we talked about him being a Jew and me being a Christian. And I told him, I said, you know Jesus was a Jew, don't you? He said, yeah, he was. I said, you know Jesus? He said, I know some things about him. And we talked back and forth. But then him and his wife had a baby. And they had a celebration at work. And they brought that baby. And you know what he did? He said, will you pray a prayer of dedication over my baby at this dedication here at work? I said, sure I will. I said, Lord, I want to thank for this boy and girl. They said, sweet people. I call them by their name, you know. And I said, I want to thank for a place to let us have a celebration that they're having a baby. And, Lord, I want to thank for this baby. What a wonderful thing to have a baby. And I said, Lord, this baby's going to grow up and he's going to be in the line of David just like Jesus was in the line of David. And I said, Lord, this little boy won't never get to be king, but he could meet Jesus the king one day. And I said, in heaven, and thank God for Jesus who didn't take the throne here, but he took it up there. And one day he's coming back in all his glory to rule the world. And I said, thank God that whosoever will can be saved by believing on Jesus Christ, the Jew. And I said, I ask you to bless this family, put a hedge around them, keep them safe, save them when it's time, save this little boy when it's time, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And they all went, that was so wonderful. And I preached the gospel. Amen. I wish I could be as devoted as her, and I don't think I'll ever be, but I sure would like to be. And if God puts the desires in my heart, he put that there. And I hope he puts it in your heart too. And you know, if he does that, nobody will ever have to beg you to love Jesus. Nobody will have to ever beg you to read your Bible. Nobody will have to ever beg you to go to church. Did you know nobody's ever come to my house and invited me to church since I got saved? Nobody's ever had to come and say, Ron, would you come back to church? We've been missing you. No, sir. They've never had to do that. And I wasn't always pastoring every church I've been in. But I want to be more devoted than I am now. Amen. I believe she's the most thankful in the Bible. Let's stand. What about you? What are you thankful for?